Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Don't forget, if you'd like to support FilmSack, there's a great way to do it. Head on over to patreon.com/frogpants and consider giving today. If you like shows like this, you'll like helping us out. That's at patreon.com/frogpants.
No, I'm tired.
Fiedler, is this line secure?
Yes, it is, sir.
Go ahead.
Zavitz is speaking to a Lenny Bloom, a former anti-war activist. He publishes a variety of left-wing newsletters on various political subjects. He's taking the tape now to Bloom's offices. Over.
Put a tap on Bloom.
Hello. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 338. I'm Scott Johnson. We are vining. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Can't even get the word mine out. Can't vine. The vine's over. They quit. I'm not doing it alone, though. Joining me this afternoon is Brian. Now, this is a story all about how his life got flipped, turned upside down, done away.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
And welcome to my cage of 90s era tech gear.
Right.
Or as I like to call it, the jar. That's right. The jar. Why do I call it the jar? Because it protects me from being bugged? No. However, a jar doesn't actually do that. Now, does it? No, it doesn't. No, I call it the jar because sometimes I pee in it. Oh, don't sit there. Or there. And don't turn on that monitor. There may be porn. I forget. I'm old. Yeah, I'm a dirty old man in a jar. Would you like to see naked pictures of Lisa Bonet? Oh, in that case, do you have any? Dirty old man in a jar. Man-o-jar. Jar-o-man.
Oh, man.
Jar.
Second Lisa Bonet movie in the history of FilmSack, by the way.
Right. You got dad jokes, I got grandpa jokes.
That's right.
Second one where she dies in the bathroom.
That's right. two right in a row. Also,
simulated sex.
Also with us, Randy Sweet El Camino, bro, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I operated a small surveillance company?
Nope.
True story. At Tenacious Defense, we sold complete surveillance packages for the discriminating surveiller, no questions asked. And we were successful. Because we followed the three rules of buggery. Number one, always deploy multitudes of buggery. Dozens of devices on one subject was our motto. Number two, yes, I know buggery doesn't mean that. Number three, whether you're in mixed company or in life or death situations, always stop to watch some people having sex if you can. Quite frankly, it's what you got into this business for. Ooh, mama, look at that lingerie.
best part of your whole thing was the beginning and the name, the Tenacious Defense name. Right. Is fantastic.
That was good. I was actually expecting you to go for the Aloha Shirt Company.
Yeah, but, that's pretty good, too. Yeah, yeah.
Thought of you immediately when I heard that.
It was a brief moment, but an awesome one. Well done. Mm-hmm. Also with us, Brian, shotgun at a helicopter makes sense, Ibbit.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
yes. I'd like to book a room for tonight, please. Yeah, here's my credit card. What, declined? No, that's not possible. It's a brand new car. Try it again. Declined? No. All right, here. Try this one. That one's declined too? Fine. I'll just get some cash out of my briefcase. It's been stolen. I looked up at you and gave you my card, and then I looked back down at my briefcase, and then I looked back up at... You're gone. The desk clerk. Somebody stole the desk clerk. Hello? Help. Somebody just stole your desk clerk. Is there somebody behind me playing a joke? What the... The hotel's gone now. Damn it, Voight. You're good.
Yeah, John Voight is good. He only spent a minute in that snake belly. He was fine. Came out, winked at you.
Just a little wink.
Yeah, he didn't. He looked a little rough in this. Looked like a fish to me. I couldn't get over that. Do you think John Voight looks like a fish?
Skipper?
Yeah, like a mud skipper. Yeah, like the kind in the SpongeBob show fish.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly.
He was a big old muck fish.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. I don't know what the deal is, but anyway, man, star-studded cast in the film Enemy of the State, which is what we're talking about today. I didn't expect to see so many freaking people, and like three or four of them aren't even credited.
Not even credited. Yeah. This is before they hit the big time.
I guess so. I mean, this was the same year. What was Private Ryan? 98, 96? I don't remember.
Right around that time. Absolutely.
All right. So you had Barry Pepper. He was credited, but you also had Sizemore, who was not credited in this. Right.
How is Sizemore not credited? I mean, it's like, how are you not? He's like a major actor. Even if he was nobody, he should get credited.
But we got to agree, this is before some of them hit the mid-time, not the big time. I mean, sure. These are a bunch of people that you happen to know from one thing or another.
Yeah.
But it's not like any of them are a big deal.
Yeah,
are you talking about Anna Gunn?
Anna Gunn, sure. She had huge things in her future she didn't even know about.
That's right. Like, she was going to break out of this role into a situation where she was married to a person with a dark secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying that people like Scott Conn and Busey Jr. only ever play the same thing ever.
Yeah.
And they're not big time.
But Jason Lee had done a bunch of the Kevin Smith stuff and he'd been around by now. Gabriel Byrne, who was there for like five hot seconds.
I think he might be my chick in the bucket. I don't know. Totally. Did he work for the NSA?
I have no idea. All I knew is he shows up in the bathroom, talks a bunch of shit, gets in a car and says, blip, he's done.
Pries a shoe open, finds a bug.
Yeah.
Like, who does he, who, what was his,
I
what
loved
was
his cameo though. That was,
oh,
that
I
was,
loved it too. I
that
loved,
was a
really
great cameo.
I like him no matter what, but what was he doing? What was his, I don't
well,
understand.
Well, he was not being the real Brill.
No,
right,
but
sure.
But who was
but
he?
Was, he, was yeah. he a shy, just a con man who just happened to be in the right place at the right time?
Well, he was absolutely part of the NSA.
I don't know. This movie doesn't have a lot of coherence. Like, it's got this one main thread of a plot, right?
Yeah.
And then sort of everything else coming in and out of it doesn't make much sense, and it doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't really care either. I had so much darn fun with this movie, just like I did back in the day. Tony Scott always brings the entertainment.
Yeah, his movies are never boring, I don't think. I think they're always exciting, even the lesser ones. And I wouldn't call this a lesser one. I had a really good time with it. And it's been, I saw it in theaters, and then this is my first time since then. And it seemed a lot more serious in theaters. And now there was a lot more goofy in this than I remember. There's like some kind of sort of Bruckheimer. I mean, Bruckheimer stuff's always like this, but it's like The Rock mixed with, like, I don't know, the Firm.
Armageddon.
Very much The Firm. Yeah, The Firm was the first one I thought of, just because it's one dude running from everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got that same soundtrack. Like, that's just always in these movies. Hans Zimmer was supposed to score the thing. Had some other guys step in and just do Hans Zimmer-like, which sounded just like Hans Zimmer of the time. And may as well all have been the same. I mean, hell, they had Gene Hackman holding a cat 90% of this thing, which was just like Gene Hackman and Crimson Tide holding the cat most of the time.
And how much better does the movie get every time Gene Hackman is on screen?
Every time.
Like, this could this could be a throwaway Con Air Armageddon, blah, 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 seen a million times kind of thing. But boy, anytime Gene Hackman's on screen, it's like, wow, this feels like the freaking French Connection or, you know, it's
he's
all
everything.
Of a sudden it just elevates.
Yeah, he's everything in this movie for me. I mean, there's other moments of okay Will Smith-ness and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But he elevates every scene he's in. The last 20 minutes are the best thing in the movie because they're getting along now. Hackman's no longer just a weird shadowy figure. They're working together. You've seen The Jar. You got shit to do. and they're doing it, and it's really fun to watch. It's kind of a weird Inspector Gadget kind of James Bond kind of thing at the end. I love it.
I think you're guaranteed to overrate performances by people like Gene Hackman and Will Smith and John Voight, because the parts of the film that aren't these people doing acting are ridiculously bad. Yeah. Like, you're so blown away that they tried to convince you that you can take a still photo and rotate the camera's perspective that you're like, okay, this movie was made by blithering morons. Oh, look, Gene Hackman's talking. That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like 98 is just about the last time you could kind of get away with this stuff without people making fun of you mercilessly, because it's just real bad. Like, I put in a number of these. The kids playing the even simple stuff. They're playing the PlayStation 1 version of Jet Moto. Well, there was only one version. It was PlayStation 1. And it had the wrong sound effects. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't understand the problem there. And then another thing that really bugged me was what Randy mentioned with the rotating camera. Bugged me even more. You can't put a PCMCIA card in an NEC Turbo Express. You can't. It's a portable video game device that does not have a PCMCIA slot in it.
It's not like it worked. You know, he jammed it in there. He probably broke the pins on the Game Boy, or not Game Boy, but right.
Also very unrealistic that any kid ever had a Turbo Express. Those things were really shitty.
And nobody wanted to find one of those on eBay. Yeah, probably.
Pretty rare.
The thing that I had the problem with was the satellites in space. Anytime they're like, all right, get a fix on this, and they'd show the satellite going, oh, okay. You know, getting in position. They don't work like that.
No, they don't.
Shoot the satellite over so it can.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that. You kind of just did
drones.
You sort of just did the voice of what the satellite would say, which is, okay, hold on, hang on a second. Like, that is just bad technology.
There were a bunch of technical consultants on this film, and all but one of them were rubbish. The one guy who came along and consulted on how you can bug people for sound was like, listen to me, mother effers. If you're going to have a movie where people are walking around with long range microphones, you better get it right.
Yeah.
And they did. Yeah. They were like, right. It was so weird because they were like, video, we'll do whatever we want. Audio, if there's a bush in the way, you're hosed.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget it. No bushes.
That whole setup was crazy anyway. It's like you had to be in the exact position, and they kind of knew where he was going, but they didn't know exactly where he was going to be. That scene kind of fell apart.
One other chick in the bucket for me is Seth Green disappeared at the end. Where'd he go?
Yeah. Well, he was at the table at the very end.
He ends up getting
that was another dude.
Yeah, no, that was Jack Black, wasn't it? And the other guy was
Jack Black, and then another guy who was one of the guys there.
Oh, that was Jamie Kennedy that was with him, right?
Oh, that's right. Jamie Kennedy. That's right. All the comedians that were in
the difference between Jamie Kennedy and Seth Green, really?
Well, apparently career now.
Yeah. Career is the difference. Yeah.
I spent this entire movie not realizing there was a difference. I thought that was one guy. Honestly.
I wondered. I mean, like Seth Green had much brighter red hair, and I wondered if they did that to kind of separate them. Because I'm gonna give Randy this. They were in dark spaces a lot, and it was hard to tell. Like, they're just skinny faced looking, '90s dudes.
Here's how you tell. Seth Green has hair like the Heatmeister from the Year Without a Santa Claus.
Nice.
Okay, at the end of the film, Jack Black is sitting next to one of those two people. And that guy says, I thought we were on a training mission.
That was Jamie Kennedy. Yeah.
Okay, there's really no difference between
Did you even watch MTV in the 90s?
No, of course not.
Well, I mean,
nobody did. That was a trick question.
So Seth Green was doing and still does a lot of screen things. But, you know, Seth Green's found all sorts of stuff on the outside, writing and producing and his animated thing on Adult Swim is still popular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, he's got a real career. Jamie Kennedy, I haven't heard from in years. What's going on with Jamie Kennedy?
Chicken is doing commercials for, they did one or two of those commercials with Flo, the insurance lady. Was that Progressive?
Oh. Right. Oh, they did?
And it's you know, it's a Robot Chicken style commercial with action figure versions of all those characters. And it's really fun. It's like, oh, you see that? It's instantly recognizable as the Robot Chicken guys. It's like, like seeing Bill Plimpton commercials in the yeah. 80s.
Oh man.
Speaking of commercials, you're saying, are we only getting the Funner California commercials in SoCal?
I don't know. Are you?
nobody? Anybody?
Funner okay. California?
Funner California.
Never
Funner.
Heard of that.
No. No?
Okay.
More fun
so,
than.
North of San Diego, a Native American tribe, the Rincon tribe, yeah. have a casino.
Yeah.
And they have this little tiny like parcel of land that the casino's on, and they've got a hotel and everything. They renamed their town Funner, F-U-N-N-E-R.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Why not? They asked David Hasselhoff to be the mayor of Funner, California. He accepted.
Of course he did.
And they're running ads trying to get you to come down to their casino and hang out in Funner, California. It used to be just called Harrah's or something.
Do they feature him as the spokesman
yes.
in the commercials? Okay.
Yes. He's right. featured in the commercials. The commercials are ridiculous. I don't know if you've noticed, but all commercials right now are going through a ridiculous phase.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
These are particularly ridiculous. I wonder if they're even on YouTube now. But I figured maybe they were more widespread than they are.
No,
never
I have
mind.
No. Like, well, I'm trying to think.
We just have fun commercials around here. I'm looking funner forward ones. To
fun,
Funner.
Fun, yeah. but not funner.
Yeah.
Right.
Funner. Funner is exciting. I can't wait for Funner. Anyway, hey, this thing, Enemy of the State here, directed by Tony Scott, written by David Marconi.
Marconi!
It's got your Will Smith, Gene Hackman, John Voight, and a billion other people. Scott Kahn, and we mentioned some of the comedians that are in this. Jack Black Busey. Looking like a little baby-faced little boy in this thing.
Yeah. By the way, Randy, you said Busey Jr. Isn't he Busey's little brother, Gary Busey's brother?
No. Jake Busey?
Jake is his son? Okay.
Yeah, Jake is his kid.
He has to be, right?
Yeah, no, he totally is. He's his son. I've heard those two.
Thought it was a little brother.
He is the son of actor
Gary Busey.
Yeah.
And this week's What Are You Thinking with the IMDb photo? Gary Jake Busey's face is not the greatest face to look at. So his publicist decided, we'll just put half of it.
Not even half.
Not even half.
More like
you don't
one
even
fourth.
See the nose. Yeah.
Let's see.
It's almost a picture of his ear.
Now hold on. Is that any worse than Jason Lee's though?
We've already called Jason Lee one time. We gotta give him a break, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jason Lee's is ridiculous. What is going on there?
At least Jason Lee's looks like he was posing for like promotion for a play that he's in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He looks like a dad in 1959 that's about to load up the car and drive to Yellowstone or something. That's what that photo looks like. Wood paneling in the background. Like, I'm sure it's from something. It has to be from
Jack
something.
Jack Black's IMDb photo tells you everything you need to know about Jack Black. I think that's like that's like a business card right there.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, usually you would think the actor was also involved in this decision. What picture are we going to put on IMDb?
Right.
And Jake Busey was like, had one eye closed. He was hung over or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. And finally, we must look at Jamie Kennedy's photo, which has absolutely zero to do with him. He's like in some kind of Rough Rider. He's got some kind of jacket on there. And
it's from a movie he was in.
It's got to be from a movie. Yeah.
Son of Mask?
No.
Oh, I forgot he was in that. Oh,
you forgot it even existed.
That movie's that movie's bad.
He's filming Tremors 6. He will be one of the Tremor monsters. He'll be playing a Graboid 2.
I mean, listen, if all of his work was like Enemy of the State, I think he probably would have done more. He got just too loopy. Like, this stuff's fine. He's fine in this. He looks like
I think his career went exactly where it should have. I think he is right.
You
point.
Think he's right where he ought to be?
I think he's right where he ought to be. He's not above or below. He is right in his slot.
Well, what do you guys think? I mean, it's tropey as hell, but here. What do you guys think about this idea that the NSA is basically one old guy who never wears anything but a suit and an overcoat and looks like a fish, and then there's five, six other guys that are all just like college sophomore looking pizza eating pot mm-hmm, smokers mm-hmm.
Well, who will do anything he says, like they're
plaid wearing grunge looking
they are way out into breaking every possible law, you know, like right. The Constitution, it's not just it doesn't apply to this group of people, it's like they're trying to do the opposite of what the Constitution
yeah
says,
like whatever the Constitution says you do whatever the opposite of that is. And then they got the, you know, three or four sort of reject jarheads from, you know, from the army or whatever, with Barry Pepper and Scott Kahn and what's his name. And they're all just rejects too. It's like this weird, the NSA, supposed to be the smartest surveillance organization in the history of everything. And it's run by, I mean, essentially just teenagers. Like, it's just weird. That whole idea. Yeah.
And it,
you know,
and in real life, the NSA director from that time, didn't he go to say how much this movie destroyed the NSA's reputation?
Well, they refused to work with them. That was one thing. It says in the trivia. I don't know. But I don't know that it just, I mean, how could anybody look at this and see it as realistic? Like, you just see this and go, what? There's five.
It may not be realistic, but it's scary as crap because it's insane, but it's plausible.
It was scary in a 1998 kind of way. I don't know that it's so scary in a 2017 context. I think now it seems a little silly. I mean, like, it seems very silly to me. Not that any of this couldn't happen. Surely, you know, we're in the midst of it. Like, this is but it just feels like a cartoon version of that.
Like this movie was predictive to me. I didn't realize how much our society was aware of, you know, terrorist bombings as we became after 9/11. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was what, 3 years before 9/11.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, you know,
but that's kind of the problem with the film is that it plays so fast and loose that you can't take it seriously. Like these G-men running around a city shooting at people and so on. Like the local cops would clamp down really quickly on that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they don't do it in real life ever.
Yeah.
No. You know, covert operations inside the United States happen in the middle of the night and they involve one guy.
The cops were nowhere except for fake cop, Gene Hackman for a hot minute. Yeah. And then real cops at the very end, they're like, well, guess we better go to the Italian shootout.
Here we are.
That is such a trope.
Which didn't make sense because the FBI, would they have called in regular cops or would they have said, no, bring in the FBI guys we have stationed nearby?
They were the worst. They just sat in their room and couldn't decide.
Oh, hey, dude, look at this. What were they doing the rest of the time?
They were the watchers. They were the watchers of movie. And it was,
but they shouldn't have to, the guy shouldn't have to say, oh, hey, Mac, look at this. What's going on now? Like, no, Mac should be watching with you.
You know what? They're kinds of chicks in the bucket too. This movie's full of chicks in the bucket and it's ironic or
appropriate
or
that it's appropriate. Will Smith, right?
Yeah. Cause Will Smith, that was his movie where it originated, right? An actual girl in a bucket who went missing.
It was actually Will Smith's chick in the bucket.
And can we talk about Will Smith for a moment?
Sure.
I think he makes a perfectly fine running from the man figure. Like, I think he's okay. But he just it didn't feel like a Will Smith movie to me ever.
Really?
You know, like, I had all of these expectations going into this. Like, wow, yeah, Tony Scott is directing and Will Smith is leading. And I'm thinking of films like, you know, Wild Wild West and, you know, just like whatever. And actually the character didn't feel like it was written for Will Smith. He does fine. Like I say, he's fine at the whole, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to keep running from the man kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. Maybe the films that have come after it kind of tainted it, but it never felt like a Will Smith movie to
me.
Well,
it was written for and accepted by Tom Cruise. He dropped out because what's his name offered to put him in that weird shit movie where they all sat around with masks and naked people.
Yeah.
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut.
Hey, Eyes Wide Shut.
If you got a movie about a running man, you better go to Tom Cruise.
I know
first.
He would have been perfect. Right. He would have been running like crazy. But if you picture
that screaming noise too that he always makes.
But if you do that, if you picture him in this role, it's easy to see. Like this is a straight up. It's almost like it was last minute because it does feel like Will Smith was just sliding into his shoes. I think comparisons would have been horrible though to things like The Firm. This would have been just a Firm ripoff because he was a lawyer and
yeah, would have felt very much like
and the whole Gene Hackman thing.
Yeah, and plus you know what I'm thinking of Philadelphia.
Sean Connery, they say in the trivia, was considered for the Gene Hackman role. And that's another one that I could see somebody writing in there because it kind of would make sense. Like you could see Connery as the tech guy. Take off your belt.
Yeah.
We'd be going, The Rock too.
Take
come
off
on.
Your shoes. Yeah, your shoes. Yeah, no, totally. That, in fact, it's weird. I mean, like we keep talking about Hackman invigorating every scene he's in. I don't think I would have liked it if it was Connery, because we've got this from Connery in like four places, four other movies that are just like that. Like, oh, he's the old man now, dog, and he's just the...
I'm the old man now.
And he's, you know, the smart one or the one that's going to get you out of trouble. I mean, this movie, Randy said this on our Slack, and I totally agree. It's like The Rock and Armageddon and like John Grisham novels and all this stuff just smacked into each other and fell apart and got their peanut butter and their chocolate, kind of. And that's fine.
And brought us the word slur eggplant. We never heard that before.
Not in a film sack.
No, not us in the mainstream. Apparently, this is a slur that.
No. Exists, if you've seen the movie True Romance.
Yeah, yeah. The Tony Scott film True Romance.
But did we know what it meant, though?
Yeah. Tony Scott directed True Romance. I have not seen True Romance, so this is the first time I'd heard it. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper having a really like a fantastic scene. Probably the best scene in the film. And Christopher Walken explains how because Dennis Hopper came from the northern part of Tuscany or whatever, that he's an eggplant.
Oh,
right.
You know what that makes you? That makes you an eggplant.
So hold on, Tarantino wrote that?
He wrote it. Yeah, why I still consider it a Tarantino film, even though it's not directed by Tarantino, because it feels very Tarantino.
Are there feet in it? Are there nasty feet?
There are naked feet in it.
Every actor had feet in that movie.
The enemy of the eggplant scene is the farthest the enemy of the state is willing to go to acknowledge the race of certain characters, and it's kind of interesting that way. I'm glad it wasn't a Tom Cruise film. Because if it had been, his wife probably would have been played by a white woman, and his girlfriend probably would have been played by a white woman. And the film really benefits from this like normalizing of Will Smith and Regina King and Lisa Bonet.
By the way, I freaking love Regina King in everything. She's most recently in the Leftovers series, which I love.
Yeah,
she's awesome. Something about her. Every time I see her, I go, "Oh man, that's awesome." She's in whatever it is I'm watching because she makes stuff better too. She's great. There's something
she plays
about
great. Just the angry at the. Oh, she was so good at that.
Yeah, when she's mad and she's ticked at you. There's a. Oh, you just want to hug her, dude. She's the best. I don't know what it is about her, but I like her a lot.
Having said what I just said, the film cannot figure out what is going on between Will Smith and Lisa Bonet. It alludes to something, and it never really clarifies it. So you're just like, why were those huge deposits made? We don't know. Who cares?
It established that... From our perspective, it established that Will Smith's character was a very honest character. Mm. If he said something, it was true. And that's what I think we were supposed to get out of that conflict relationship. It was something to give our hero, Achilles' heel, but it also proved that he was very honorable, even in the face of great corruption.
I thought maybe it was to make a bunch of 80s, 90s sitcom lovers' dream come true. By having those two get together, because that was a little bit of a combo, you know, like that, you know, the Fresh Prince and one of the Cosby kids getting it on,
right?
Finally.
So I got a question about a couple of these things. Well, first of all, I wrote this down. It was midnight when I watched this last night, so I was tired. I couldn't think straight. And my first line,
right time to watch Enemy of the State.
My first line is, "Why isn't Sizemore credited in here? He's a fatty."
He's so large. How could you not credit him?
And he was horrible. Can I own that he was horrible?
I liked him. I think you got to make your argument here.
Of course you did. Yeah. But he was horrible.
Well, what do you mean horrible? The character was horrible or the acting was horrible?
Just him. Him in sitting in this chair next to a kitchen. It was just horrible. Like the whole time you're just like thinking, what why, how, who, what's he saying, who cares?
I like him, he's great. I think that he was probably at the height of his drug problem here as well, so you're getting a piece of that, and it's just, I don't know, all sweaty.
That wasn't makeup sweat.
No,
sweat.
Yeah, that was I need a fix or I'm gonna lose it sweat.
You know, they probably filmed every scene with him. They probably filmed that whole thing. He was probably on set for a total of maybe one day because he was always in that chair.
Yeah.
I don't know. It probably took days and days and days to shoot the freaking Mexican standoff. That it was the most elongated, unnecessary flashing of lights nonsense we've seen in a long time.
It was fun.
Then why did I like it?
Yeah,
so
why did I like it? I liked it too.
But I mean, just I can't imagine how long they spent.
Oh, yeah.
People grimacing while holding
cameras,
a gun.
Yeah. Jostling around and
I'd forgotten that the thing that started the ruckus was the cook or the dishwasher with the shotgun. I totally forgot. I thought that was, I don't know. I couldn't remember who blinked.
Well, it was kind of Busey who shot first. It was the Busey guy coming around the corner.
Well, he came around the corner, but he didn't shoot until
the shotgun died.
He escalated.
Right. Okay. Yeah, he escalated after shotgun guy shot him or toward him. And then everything went to shit. But Busey died first, I think. I'm pretty sure he took it in the back and head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was out.
They all died days apart.
Yeah.
Everybody in that room.
Every time I see Voight with that face while he's pointing the gun and trying to get everyone to, you know, put their guns away or give me the tape or whatever, he just looks like a fish. He looks like a fish. And it bugs me. I feel like I want to get him water or get him back to his habitat or something.
Yeah,
like
I'm playing Pokemon Magikarp, and it looks just like that.
Yes.
See how
high.
You're not really playing that, are you?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Have you gotten to a point where there's an actual game in there?
Absolutely. I'm like level 12 trainer. Yeah.
Like Tamagotchi is what it felt like to me.
Yeah, I don't love it. Anyway.
I feel like over the long run of FilmSack, we come out with some sort of like overarching rules. And one of the things that we have established for years is if you are a man and you are good looking, just age. Don't go see the plastic surgeon, John Boyd.
Yeah, right.
Just age.
Yeah.
But he comes from an era where everybody was doing that and they didn't know how bad they were going to look later on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Courtney Cox came out recently and said, oh, yeah, I really wish I hadn't done that. I know she's kind of a person who's done it more recently than John Voight, but there's a bunch of people out there who are like, oh God, I really wish I wouldn't have done that. I bet you Hasselhoff probably wishes he wouldn't have too, because he kind of looks.
Yeah. Oh, he looks a little pinched. Yeah. He looks like a fish.
He looks pinched.
Pinched and weird.
Everybody looks like a fish.
Oh my God.
Oh, but I'm the mayor of Funnatown.
Wayne Newton looks like an action figure.
Oh yeah, totally, dude. He looks like a shiny little 70s era. Like, what were those called? I forgot the name, but there were the specific kind of action figures. He looks just like one.
Right.
Fit in your pocket.
And I mean, I'm not comparing John Voight to Mickey Rourke, like the sort of like disaster of plastic surgery to the face, right. but it's bad enough to notice.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Mickey Rourke did his own? Do you think he's just so bad at it, he's just like,
right. I'm not paying for that. I'm just going to... Boy, just sitting in the garage, jamming stuff
drink
in his
a
face.
Fifth of vodka.
Yeah,
sound
I wonder.
Like Bruce Willis.
I wonder.
In California.
At the very least, he got a poor recommendation for whoever did it.
Right.
Because it's bad.
Well, and another thing I want to make clear is I'm not talking about the common man getting some plastic surgery, right? Like I could see myself getting this thing hanging under my chin tucked a little bit, but
testicles there. I think they're fine.
Right. Thank you very much.
I like ball chin, come on.
But I'm talking about when you are a famous person that's being photographed all the time. Right. It's just like, just let it go. Let it age. We're going to be fine with you later when you have wrinkles. But then, you know, Ray Liotta comes out looking like the Joker.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's frustrating because I don't know. I mean, I understand. I think I know why. The reason why is it's the entire industry is vanity. And it's all about your young, good looks. And then men fare better. But women often just straight up lose their careers. Like, they just don't work until they're old enough to be a cranky mom on a rom-com or something.
Grandma, yeah.
And that sucks. So I totally get the motivation, but I'm with you that on the other end, they'd feel better. Like, I can't tell for sure, but I don't think Judi Dench has had a damn thing done. But she had, and she's amazing. Every time she's in something, I go, oh, great. I love Judi Dench. Let's do this. But here's the thing. She had this young career that went real good in the 60s and 70s. And then she aged, and then you didn't hear anything from her for a really long time, and then she became relevant again, and now everyone loves her and gives her Oscars and everything else. So I think that's hard for some of these people, but I still admire it when they don't, you know, like I think I understand it, though. I think I get the motivation.
And sometimes you can tell they did it for themselves. Like, there's absolutely nobody in the world that Carrot Top got all mangled for except himself, right? Like, that, it doesn't change his career as a comedian.
I'm still a college student.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make him look funnier or whatever.
Well, it makes him look funnier.
Oh, yeah, I think it's just it's a different kind of funny definition is what you mean. Yeah,
but, I would watch a movie where he was like an evil clown. Oh, why is that not happening?
Yeah, why is that not a thing?
It's called his Las Vegas stage show. You can see it every night at the Luxor.
But do you see what I'm saying? He did that for him. And great, go for it. That's great and everything. Like, do it for yourself.
Yeah, why isn't he the It clown in this new It adaptation?
I would buy that 100%.
Oh,
a little bit of white makeup.
Yeah. Guaranteed. 10 years, they're going to make a Child's Play remake. And
what, he'll do like mocap and they'll do face capture from him or something?
Oh, no. They'll just put him in a jumper.
I see. They go just full man-sized doll. I love
full
that.
Full man-sized doll.
All right.
Carrying around a little bag of props. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Carrot Top isn't trying to do dramatic acting. John Voight looks like an early survivor of a Botox injection gone wrong.
No, I'm telling you, it looks like a half anaconda digested man is what he looks like to me.
Yeah.
Just popped out all shiny and ready to keep working. So Lisa Bonet, who played Will Smith's ex-girlfriend in this, we talked about her. I didn't want to forget to say this. Nearly 15 years later, after this film was made, Bonet's real life daughter, Zoe Kravitz. I didn't know Zoe Kravitz was young enough to be her daughter, but anyway, portrayed Will Smith's daughter in After Earth, a terrible film made in 2013.
Didn't make that connection.
Now, what's great is Zoe Kravitz will forever be on my list of awesome because she was one of the ladies there that Immortan Joe had as his little slave women in the Mad Max Fury Road. And so she's forever on a list of great things. And well done, Zoe Kravitz. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. The average shot length of this film, because they do this when these movies are highly edited, 2.4 seconds.
I believe it.
Yep.
And it was over
2 hours of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah, it totally is. That's what it reminded me of, Brian. I'm glad you said that. Reminded me of, what's his name? Can't think of his name now.
Guy Fieri,
or however the hell you say that shitty last name. His show's famous for that, and this movie is right along those lines. 2.4 seconds. You never had a long, lingering shot of any sort.
Right.
Which is fine.
It's good, because you don't want to... John Voight, you don't want that. You don't want
There was one shot that lingered a bit longer than I expected, which was the shot of the sales girl in the lingerie store.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that whole sequence, it's played for laughs, but the whole, it's so cringy.
Can we talk about the lingerie store that doesn't exist?
Right. Yes, we can. It's all fun and games when, you know, it's Will Smith in there. But when you have like 18 creepy guys in trench coats walking in there, I'm shopping for something for my wife. She's about her size.
Is that a thing anywhere? Because am I so sheltered in my South that there's a lingerie store somewhere with a bunch of women?
Well, I mean, there's hair.
There's not a lingerie store with a cover charge.
There is,
it's an even bigger secret than Victoria's.
No kidding. Nicely done. Even here we have a place that's like a hair salon where the women are all in tiny bikinis, and it's called Bikini Cuts, I think. Real simple.
Nice.
I don't know if I've said this on this show before, but I accidentally got a haircut at a four men salon some years ago back in.
You're holding up air quotes, right? Come on, accidentally.
There was a salon that briefly operated in Austin that was, you know, like something like, you know, the finer things for men or something like that. And I desperately needed a haircut, and I had nothing to do. I was like the Austin Film Festival or something, and I had a 2-hour gap, and I was just like, I'm just gonna go in here and get a haircut. And I went in and I stayed because they gave me a beer, and I was like, wow, yeah, this is a great this is a great salon.
My haircut looks great.
They give you a beer right up front. Anyway, the woman who cut my hair was only wearing like a bra on top, above her waist. She was like wearing a skirt.
Oh, okay. So you mean she's topless, but she's got a bra.
Right. From the waist down, she's wearing a skirt, but from on her top, she's wearing just a lacy bra. You do not want this cutting your hair. because your hair clippings get all over her chest. Mm-hmm. And it's horrible to see.
Wow.
So that's my advice to you. Yes, my advice to you is don't go get your hair cut.
Did you try to blow it off? I mean, no. Let me get this for you. I got it.
No, I actually spent most of the time.
Known as a hairy ending.
I actually spent most of the time with my eyes closed. And I tried to not pay any attention to the ridiculous.
See, I already don't like having attractive women cut my hair because I take a little too much enjoyment in them playing with your hair and all this other stuff. It's like, oh, there you go.
I've never had a haircut outside. I've never had a salon or barber haircut.
We know you go to the barber and he's like,
I've never had any, not one. I've never paid for a haircut my entire life. It's now kind of a thing.
It shows.
It's now, it totally shows. I'll let my wife know that you think that about her haircuts, but yeah.
I would actually like to do like a YouTube video of like, Scott, don't get a haircut for like 3 months, mm-hmm. and then we'll take you to an actual salon.
Oh,
and
Lord.
See how that goes for you.
What they can do.
Where they do the scalp massage and that sort of thing.
Like, see, that's the thing is, I bet I'd like it. I'll bet I would end up wanting to keep doing it, and then I would be mad at myself that I now have this new, you know, $35 a visit expense. Yeah, right. Which is
What about Gary Busey and who is Little Busey's friend? What was his? Who,
Scott
which
actor?
Scott Conn.
Yeah. Let's talk about their tall crew cut. Is that even really a crew cut? Because I mean, it's like. It's really tall.
I have the feeling if you took all, do you know the guy in Encino Man that was like the bully kid? He's one of the Dom DeLuise's kids. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Right.
Peter DeLuise
Peter
something.
DeLuise, right?
Yeah. I get the feeling in this movie, if you took all the Jarhead types, the Barry Pepper guy, Busey and Conn and smushed them all together, that out the other side would come Peter DeLuise. And I don't know why I felt the entire movie, they all looked like a combination of him. And it drove me up the wall. I've written it four times here. It's weird.
Didn't he fill in for Dip? No, what show was he in that was kind of
his other? I think it was his brother. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it was 21 Jump Street. Yeah, Peter DeLuise came in, but he was his partner, not.
No, that's right.
He was
that's right because we had Grieco. Richard Grieco came in for Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I forget about that.
But I thought Peter DeLuise. Or no, now I'm confused. There's two brothers, the DeLuise brothers, and I always forget which one's which. But their big claim to fame for me was they produced, directed, and starred in a few. Stargate SG-1 episodes. They were the big Stargate producers, which is crazy to think that DeLuise boys went on to be Stargate guys. But yeah, anyway, that's just a side note. Those guys all look like like a DeLuise kid from the but like 80s DeLuise kid, not like, you know, I'm fat like my dad DeLuise kid now.
How much hair product does it take to make your hair do that? Because I see it in movies all the time. I never see it in real life.
A lot. Yeah. And if you want to see Scott Conn wear hair product, just watch Hawaii 5-0. It's ridiculous. He was only like 21 when he made Enemy of the State. Now he's in his early 40s. This guy can hold down a pound of hair product. It's amazing.
Is Scott Conn you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, him in the Hawaii 5-0 show, even today, his hair is... it's enormous. It's insane, especially for a guy whose dad, his famous dad, has got like no hair up there.
Right. He's famous. He's famous for having been balding his entire life.
Right. He's been balding since he was a kid, and his son, for whatever reason's got the opposite problem. He's like a Play-Doh bumper humper machine up there on top.
Right. Actually, I can see Daddy Conn running some Rogaine in his hair when he's a kid.
Daddy,
it's not gonna happen to you, son.
That's right.
Be better than me.
Michael and David are the two other DeLuise brothers, and just pulled, you know, because I wanted to figure out which one is involved with Stargate. I pulled up David DeLuise's IMDb profile, and just the first sentence of his description bears pause and enjoyment.
Yeah,
the youngest son of legendary actor and comedian Dom DeLuise, David DeLuise is perhaps now the most popular dad on TV.
What?
No.
What?
Yes, exactly.
Would you like to know what he's popular for?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, yeah.
The father on Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yes.
What?
Which is a stupid and
most
dumb...
popular dad on TV.
It's actually a pretty... I don't know why I've watched
okay,
that show.
No, I'm not saying the show's bad or good or anything. I take issue with the claim that you're the most popular dad on TV.
Okay, let's. I want to hold that phrase for a moment. Forget him and come around with me. Who other than Ty Burrell is vying for most popular dad on TV?
I was going to say Ty Burrell.
You mean it has to be current dad on TV?
Yes.
Yeah, current dad on TV.
Of course.
So not a lot of competition in what you're saying here. I got you.
Homer, Probably Homer.
Homer.
Kevin,
Homer,
Kevin Homer Garber Simpson. On the leftovers.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a great dad. I'm going to give, oh boy, by the way, well, no, it's a separate conversation of a different deal, but they don't have those kids on at all this season.
Walter
I don't understand.
White.
Oh yeah. Walter White, dad of the year. No, I don't know. That's a hard, you know what? There aren't iconic dads right now on TV. Are there? Not really.
Randall Park on Fresh Off the Boat, I think is pretty iconic.
Yeah.
Right.
I just don't know. Like, it's Ty Burrell and Homer Simpson. That's all we got.
Yeah, it's Homer. I'm giving it to Homer.
Wow.
24 you know, and 6 years.
He managed to pick a dry spell. And
I think, listen, if you say, oh, you know what? I'll give it to Bob on Bob's Burgers. He's great.
He is great.
Yeah. Okay, you know,
I wouldn't say he's the most popular dad, but I really like Diedrich Bader from the Drew Carey Show in American Housewife.
Oh,
he plays a really good.
I like
how that character's written.
I like him in everything, including the much ballyhooed but not enough enjoyed film make of what was it called, Beverly Hillbillies, where he played Jethro. And he was great as Jethro, and I would just like to remind everybody that movie is not as bad as Brian says it is. That's all.
He's good. He's good in that.
All right.
I still love his Office Space role.
Yes,
the neighbor.
Next door neighbor. Yeah.
That mustache.
What was his name in
Bruce Lee Marathon going on right now?
He was the Taekwondo. What was Rick Kwando?
Yes. Oh, Rick Kwando in
Napoleon Dynamite.
Dodgeball. Oh yeah, right.
Napoleon Dynamite. I loved him in that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Rick Kwando. He should have his own spinoff. That's what that should be. But anyway, back to your whole point. This lingerie store, I don't think that exists.
Let's start this conversation. Yeah.
Wow. That was the biggest rewind we've done in a while.
We were talking about Scott Conn's hair.
I thought it all came from... Oh, no, what it was. It was lingering shots, and then somehow Scott Conn's hair came up. Yeah. I don't know how that came up.
So we're in this lingerie store that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And... a guy comes running in,
Jason Lee,
that you recognize, and says, "Help me." Mm-hmm. And you are so distracted by the boobs on the sales girl that you don't do anything. Like, what? The whole movie hinges on Will Smith's inability to turn and grab him by the shoulders and say, "Okay, I will help you."
Yeah. I got to admit, though, I almost didn't notice that Jason Lee was in there.
You know what, though? I would have, I'm just going to throw it out there. I think Jason Lee would have been better as the main character in this and should have been the one on the run the entire time.
Dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could have been really
good
fun.
Job running until he met that fire truck.
And I really like him.
He's just not a good bicyclist. Good runner. No. Bad bicyclist.
I like that guy a lot. I think he's not just funny, but interesting and, kind of handsome for his time. And there's something.
Oh, absolutely.
Something about him. I would have totally gone for that.
Can Barry Pepper run as fast as a Jason riding a bike?
No, his nostrils.
Every time they'd cut back to him, he seemed like he was closer to the bike. The bike was pulling away, and then they cut away, cut back. He's closer to the bike, and the bike is pulling away.
He has weird nostrils. I just want to point that out.
Why would you ever ride against traffic anyway? The street's going this one direction. Just go that direction.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Simple as that.
Right.
Simple
exactly.
as that.
Because
also,
it's not like peel off your chasers, your on foot chasers, because they can easily dodge cars a little bit better than you can.
Was this the second Barry Pepper we've seen? Because the first was the Battlefield Earth, right?
I forgot about it. Yeah, you're right.
We've seen more Barry Pepper than this.
I think this is the
good,
most Barry
good
Pepper.
Good IMDb photo on
I
him.
I just like saying Barry Pepper.
Yeah, Barry Pepper's. I think he's a super interesting dude. My favorite thing I've seen recently was that Coen Brothers remake of Hard Dirt. No, what was it called?
Hard Dirt.
He was in that. He played the bad guy with a missing tooth toward the end when they jousted, and he was great in that
movie.
Really
good in that.
Yeah. So I wish there was more Barry Pepper, if I'm being honest.
Wow. He had what an incredible 2 years he had too. Saving Private Ryan, Enemy of the State, The Green Mile. Battlefield Earth.
Yep. He was really good in Green Mile, too. Yeah.
I feel like since Battlefield Earth, it's been a little quiet on the Barry Pepper front.
Right. Oh, no. He was in 61. He was in, there was some things actually that Flags of Our Fathers, mm-hmm. 7 Pounds. So he was in another movie with Will Smith.
Oh, he was Bobby Kennedy in that Kennedy's movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. All right. So he's had some
stuff. He was in The Lone Ranger. Oh.
No, that's too bad. I actually like the movie. Let's not talk about it, though.
Is True Grit really 2010 now? That's been 7 years since True Grit. Wow. Shut up. That can't
shut the front door.
That can't be right. That can't be right. How can that be right?
You know what else I was couldn't believe? I couldn't believe that wasn't Randy Quaid in that powered wheelchair coming out on that side street. I was almost 100% sure. I'm like, oh, man, that's Randy Quaid.
That would have been amazing. Traffic. Yeah. That would have been amazing. Oh, my gosh. But by the way, Barry Pepper, this movie somehow has a rumor floating around, and I can't find anything to corroborate it, but it says that Aaron Sorkin co-wrote it, but is just not credited. And this happened with Armageddon, no. Was it, or something? Some other movie. No, that was J.J. Abrams. There was some other movie we saw that was like, maybe it was The Rock, where he ghost wrote for that too. And I just find that
ghost
weird.
Ghost writer.
Like one of the most revered writers ever in modern. Right.
Well, and with a very peculiar style, you would notice
that's
if Aaron Sorkin was writing there was dialogue.
There was no long shots of people walking down hallways talking really fast to each other.
Yeah.
There was
not quite, but close. They had a lot of long conversations.
Yeah.
There was no moment where our principal suddenly went into a long soliloquy about what government should be doing. Like, it's just, no. Right. That was not Aaron Sorkin.
He wrote A Few Good Men, but that felt like Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
I think your litmus test is the correct one. Like, if you can't, if there aren't people rushing through a hallway and having a really intricate conversation, it's not Aaron Sorkin. Like, it's right. Just straight up, you have to have your West Wing quality or else he didn't do it.
That's right.
Anyway, I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah.
How removed am I from reality that I always go, they have a nanny? How much money are they making?
I do it every time. I do it every time. So Brian, you're not alone. I always look at the nanny thing. Usually I look at it and I'm irritated because the mom in these scenarios is always at home.
Right.
But
she's supposed to be an attorney as well. But she's never shown that.
She's
capacity.
Just sitting there watching MSNBC all day long.
With her dog.
Right.
She's spending more time with her dog than she is her kid.
Her neon green dog.
Yeah. So I've never understood that. I understand two working parents. I get it. Like, obviously, I get that. But, like, if you're, if the mom's home and she's just, I can't be bothered, so let's hire a nanny.
It made no sense.
I don't like that.
The whole family dynamic, other than the great chemistry between the actors, the home life made no sense to me because Will Smith kept talking about his big screen TV that got smashed. I'm like, dude, I've never seen a big screen TV.
Yeah.
You had like maybe a 25 inch CRT kind of tube type kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
So it didn't make any sense that they lived this one lifestyle, but then they had a nanny who had apparently had a cage in the back of her car.
Yeah. Her own Faraday cage.
That's for the little tiny dog. So that they could just put the dog back there and drive around.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the Faraday cage for the dog. It was his own jar. So,
so it is the dog jar. Perfect.
I love how the script absolutely refuses to say Faraday cage. It will not say Faraday cage.
Yeah. It was almost like Faraday owns the rights to the name or something.
The jar.
I love that.
It's a copper wire cage. It keeps people from prying eyes. It was invented by a guy named Faraday, but that's about all I can say about it.
It's pretty good, Hackman.
There is something about Hackman with scruffy short hair and glass and dark rim glasses that is just a great look, man. Like, it's so cool. He just seems like a badass in every possible way.
When he gave us the Luigi stare after he ran down.
There was a Luigi stare.
It killed me.
It was totally a Luigi stare.
Oh my God. That needs to be a GIF. Yeah. That needs to be.
It was so much fun.
Somebody just put his face on Luigi on a cart. I think that'd be pretty good. Yeah, no, he's just, I don't know, he has a presence that I miss. I really miss it. Like, I think about movies, that could have used Hackman. And I know he's in his 80s and we're done. I get it. But I just wish we weren't. I wish he was still in his prime or even just his 90s, early aughts era.
I guess we could always go back and go through all the great Hackman movies.
We can. I mean, did we see Hackman The Quick and the Dead or did that get pulled before we had a chance
to a couple of times. We have not.
I love him in that.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. It just makes me want to watch more Hackman. That's all this did
my
for
favorite,
me.
My favorite Hackman scene had to be, we had a whole group of the family watching this, by the way, last night. And I think everybody laughed when Hackman carjacked the guy and told the guy to tell a story walking.
Oh, yeah. No, he has like, the best lines.
That's my new line.
He has the best lines. Maybe Sorkin just came in and gave Hackman lines because those are the best things
maybe
in the movie.
So.
There's moments where he says, oh, what was the one? I have some of these recorded, but and I'll play them. But I love it when he says, why'd you blow the building up? Because you made a phone call. I was like,
yeah, you made a phone call.
He's just so.
Why is my El Camino on fire? I don't know.
I thought, why didn't you tell me my name is Bob? You have to tell me before. I just did. He's great.
And then, some of the lines are really bad. Like, it's a pump action. That to me was almost like it's a Unix system from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, a little bit.
The gun.
It's a Unix system moment for sure.
How do you use this gun? I don't understand. It's pump action. Oh, you pump it? Okay.
So do you guys have do you know what my gross moment was? Because I had one.
Ooh, yes. I think it was when Hackman was pouring chips on Will Smith.
Nailed it. That was it.
Really?
Yep.
Dumping a bag of greasy chips on Will Smith?
Greasy potato chips. Greasy potato chips all over my pants and shirt is so gross, dude. Lays.
Then the movie really stuck with it. Like, we're gonna just show you this over and over.
Yeah.
We're not gonna move on from this. And we're gonna pry a bug out of your shoe and put that in the potato chip bag, and you're gonna see the chips.
The chips are just everywhere. They're on your lap. It's gross. If you've ever had a potato chip sit on your lap too long, you have a permanent oil hole in your pants.
Yeah, permanent transparent part of your shorts.
Yeah,
I thought that was just me. I had no idea that was gonna be the
totally
thing.
Was it.
That was hilarious.
You nailed it. First guess. Well done. Nothing else really. I mean, what else is there to be grossed out about? It's all just sort of. Whatever. Right. Maybe Hackman putting gum in his mouth too many times or something. Or, I don't know.
Whole jar area was kind of just grossing me out. I mean, just everything in there, like, it is going to get tetanus.
We love this in the 90s, though. Like, a couple of tower computers, a big CRT, a bunch of half sort of porn things laying everywhere. Like
half a dozen zip drives.
Yep. Yep. PCMCA drive that apparently everyone had, and also an NEC TurboGrafx Express, but also
a VHS rewinder.
Right. VHS playing a big role. Okay, so that brings me to the thing I wanted to talk about. Or one of the things that are important here. This movie seemed to ignore that in 1998, the internet wasn't quite what it is today, but we had it.
Yeah.
We're 4 years into the World Wide Web as a standard, and there's plenty going on. Like, Google existed in 98. I could get MP3s that year. Like, there was stuff going on, and they pretended like it didn't exist. So all the surveillance talk, all of the everything about any data or how we're tracking people, none of it either was, they either just didn't mention it because back then it was, Yahoo and some static pages about whatever
Alta Vista.
Sure. Or they just didn't have the forethought to think that that was going to grow or be a bigger part of this. But that kind of bugged me the whole time. I'm like, guys,
it was actually an anticipation that the audience wouldn't have understood if they'd used cutting edge internet stuff.
Yeah.
And the audience would understand sitting and watching someone with your own eyes.
Yeah.
So it just it also allowed them to put lots of actors out on the screen, and I guess that kind of works.
Sure.
The weird thing to me was here I am with a VHS tape in 98. We were fine with DVDs by then. We knew what DVDs were.
Yep.
We had DVD players.
Yeah. I had a copy of Fifth Element I got for $30. That was
but we didn't. We were recording a lot on DVDs at that time.
No.
Like, that was kind of,
that was new. I mean,
devices really weren't. You had one on your computer, but I mean, there weren't like devices that wrote to them.
Surveillance systems, generally speaking, were recording to DAT tapes. That was usually what you would see there. So you would have digital video on DAT tapes, but nobody recorded anything to a PCMCIA data card.
I was actually really worried about the tech, because I knew, I was like, oh, this is really a tech heavy movie. Mm-hmm. And I was worried about it. And honestly, they kept it vague enough most of the time that it didn't really bother me.
You were right to worry. It was bad.
Right.
It was bad. I mean, it may not have been as bad as it could have been.
Especially the 1-5 checklist of where the bugs were still on it. Like,
that was such a bad device.
Yeah, that was really bad.
And every time you threw one away,
right.
the computer screen would go, and I'm like,
why would the computer screen do that? What does that got to do with anything?
Well,
he either jumped off the building or he learned how to fly. Well, no, the other three things are still moving, so I'm guessing that he just took off his pants.
Yeah, it's we're not talking net bad. This is not as bad as Sandra Bullock's The Net, but it's up there. It's not very
good.
Can
I have a trip alert for a part of it?
Absolutely. Sure. Here you go.
Again, your copy progress bar doesn't come with animation.
That is great.
And by the way, your copy progress does not have to end a split second before you have to leave.
Yeah.
You could copy something and leave and still build up suspense.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to always end at the perfect exact time.
And this is 98, man. You didn't eject anything. Even if your progress said it was done, you waited a couple of minutes.
You would corrupt files if you did not do
that. Right, right.
But also, your device was not removed properly. Please eject it properly before
I call it the Newman principle, though, to have that loading bar. It's kind of the
What was it? I couldn't figure out. It was supposed to be a sumo kind of guy. It was a double-headed.
It was a two-headed sumo guy, yeah.
Okay.
For no reason. And then at the end, it always has
that's what Jason Lee is. You know,
I love the environmentalist hacker. Environmentalist hacker.
Yeah, he's an anti-war hacker. And the idea that you have to have a chime when your thing's done copying, or the voice will go, oh, you're all done. Like, come on. Let's knock it off, everybody. It's so dumb. But yeah, that was a thing for sure. A trope of the 90s. Hackers did it. I could probably name others, but anytime there was an interface, there's skull and crossbones.
Such suspense. I mean, is nothing more nerve-wracking than trying to... I mean, we can all relate to this, is the reason why it works so well. I mean, we've all been copying something and waiting for it to finish before we could leave. And so this just, like, ratchets it up to the next level.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you had to leave?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if Barry Pepper was outside your door, or Busey was lockpicking for the 1,000,000th time? If I saw one more lockpicking scene, I was going to punch Busey.
Is that like a Sawzall he's using in a lockpick?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to vibrate the. I think it's supposed. It's just a vibration. Yeah, vibrate the pin, so it's easier to do. But it's so noisy.
Yeah. Almost got it.
Might as well just you know, cut the lock out of the door.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They kept doing that, and then they would just kick the door in. I'm like, well, why'd you even start with the other?
Do you know how know when Barry Pepper's outside your door?
No.
His little nostrils go. The little tiny nostrils make a whistle
sound. You out there, Barry?
Yeah.
Hey, Barry.
He has tiny, weird little nostrils. Just something to notice. Something to look at.
So do you think Tony Scott ran out of names by the time he got to Mr. and Mrs. Wu? Because, I mean, Miss Wu, the only thing she really did was woo.
Yeah. Right. Literally.
Yeah, there's a gray trope right there.
Yep.
Is the oversexed foreign woman who doesn't understand English, but as soon as somebody starts taking their clothes off, oh yes
yeah, oh, I know this, we have this where I come from.
I mean, it was just flat out wrong. Like, it was mean to a race, to a gender, to the character,
to an actress,
to an actress.
Yeah.
And the old guy there, I've seen him on MASH, by the way. They both, like, that's a trope in itself. Here's a tourist Asian couple, doesn't know the language,
right?
And they're just gonna think this is normal. Oh, we're right. Doing the culture.
Somebody always comes into our room, and we'll sit on the bed and just watch whatever you have to do.
Yeah, it's just lazy, that stuff, I think. But it's fine. Tony Scott, we miss you. We wish you were still here making movies.
Oh, absolutely.
You didn't have to jump off that bridge. All right.
He was really good. This movie was really good at creating tension. I mean, the fact that it lasted two hours and 15 minutes, and I mostly was engaged.
Yeah.
Except for that one time when they were talking about the two tapes, I had to go pee. But other than that,
have you guys all seen Man on Fire, the Denzel Washington deal?
Yes.
I think that
was this, right?
Retrospect for me, I think that actually was later. I think that was early aughts. But that may be my favorite Tony Scott movie. I was trying to think of it while I was watching this, because I was looking at them all, and I know we all have fond feelings for Top Gun and a million other things, but I feel like Man on Fire might be the best thing he made. And that could be, could just be me, but I really like that movie a lot.
It was really good. I enjoyed this too, though.
It's fun to watch a movie about a sex scandal that would have ended a politician's career in a time where I don't think those end anyone's careers now. I think you just keep going. You know, right. If you got caught in a hotel room with your assistant, you just keep going.
This movie came out right in the middle of the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah.
And now, just like, it seemed quaint. Aw.
Yeah, it's so cute. Remember that when we used to get all worked up about our politicians doing it?
Right.
Now, and now we're like, man, just grab them by the pee. I don't care.
Nice. Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that don't turn me on, that's not a good sexual innuendo.
Yeah.
Is it that end scene where they start using the word monitoring as a sexual innuendo? That just didn't work for me.
Yeah, I'd like to
monitor you, if you know what I mean.
I'd like to do some monitoring. I'd like to go get a Dell monitor, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Got to get a Dell. Get a Dell, dude. Or dude, get a Dell. Or how'd that go? Whatever.
That was it.
All right.
You're getting a Dell, dude.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Yep.
Clips. We should do clips. I have a few of them.
I'm guessing there's one involving a shower.
There probably is. Let's see. Hold on. Where are my clips? I'm in the wrong place. Here we go.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What
you're going to say? No. When I heard that shower, I was like, oh yeah, got to capture that. Oh,
that's got to come captured.
Here we haven't even talked about James Robards, or not James.
Oh, Jason. Yeah,
Jason, sure. Robards, Jason Robards, who's a third or fourth film sack movie, I think, for us, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember them all. They were in the Corey's movie, that one. He was in
Red License to Drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or Dream a Little Dream, whatever the hell it
whatever
was.
Whatever that terrible thing was.
Dream a Little Drive.
Anyway, I got a little line. This is him. He values his time, so here's that.
What the hell are you doing here? This is not the office. This is my private time.
Careful, there's a guy behind you going, shh. He's about to stick a needle in your neck.
Yeah.
Oh, another chick in the bucket were the pills they put in there. So they put pills to make it look like he had OD'd or he was a drug user, and they never mentioned it again. Never came up again.
Because as soon as that thing goes in the lake, the pills are washed out of there, or they're dissolved.
They're totally stupid. That was like
the blind spot for the movie. It was incredibly blind. I mean, even the police, I mean, Jason pulls up on the other side to pick up his camera, and not a single policeman goes, hey, what are you doing over there?
Right. Well, there's a guy over there who's getting something out of a box 30 feet from where this murder was committed.
Do you think he might know something?
Weird. How about this one? This is Sweary Will Smith, I wrote. I think I just typoed it, but it's kind of funny. Will Smith being sweary.
Well, why don't you guys just head on home? I'm your lawyer. I'm in the process of dealing with these Guido motherfuckers. Pedro doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah, these Guido motherfuckers.
See, what use the racist there, term. I just chided you for it.
Yeah,
that's how you get them on your side.
Yeah, that's how you get them over there. That's right. Pull him onto your side. Here's something about an a-hole.
The guy was an asshole, sir, and he deserved it.
This is Scott Conn, right? I think it was.
I think so, yeah.
To one of the DeLuise kids. Anyway. Here's a line that made me laugh. Jason Lee.
My duck.
It's hard to capture it because I had to believe it. But...
oh, we laughed. We laughed out loud at the old Dunaway household.
If a duck.
And that's when I met Randy.
Right.
My name is Earl.
You've got the My Name is Earl intro. Yep, you've got the Will Smith intro.
Mm-hmm. I want to say Barry Pepper was on My Name is Earl once or twice as a character.
He was, and I believe he was also Seth Green was.
They've all been with. Yeah, they've all been with Jason Lee, and if you know what I'm saying.
If you know what I mean, they've all been pouring potato chips on him. If you know what I mean.
I don't know why I like that show, but I do. I like...
Which one?
My Name is Earl.
My Name is Earl?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Love it.
I like it a lot, and I don't know... It's not...
I love that, and I love Raising Hope.
I'll tell you this.
Raising Hope's
that
amazing.
That is some hillbilly humor I can get behind.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Because it's trailer trash, not really hillbilly humor,
I think that must be it. I think that must be it.
That's the difference.
Differentiation there. Mm-hmm.
But they're all, like, Joy is incredible in that. Like, it's just a great show.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not supposed to like it, but I like it a lot.
And they've all gone to bigger and better things, except for the woman who played Randy's girlfriend, the hotel maid.
Oh, right,
whose name
right.
I can't remember.
She's in something now, though.
Oh, is she?
Shoot! What did I just see yesterday? I saw a promo for
Elf a Duck. What was it?
I can't remember. Well, anyway, here's this.
Holy shit!
Okay, that's him again.
Most of his lines were like that, short, longed out.
profanity.
Yeah, gonna... the way he does, the way, I mean, they really let Jason Lee be himself, which is great.
They did.
She was in Flight.
Oh.
Her name is Nadine Velasquez.
Yes. She's a very pretty person.
She is.
She's lovely.
Especially when she's jumping.
Jumping
on a bed for no apparent reason.
I think that, you know what I think it is?
There's
I
like a reason.
She was on Raising Hope too. Whoa.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. They everybody from Earl eventually did cameos in Raising Hope.
Oh, that's right. Comfort, yes. I forgot.
Comfort
about that.
Food for me is My Name is Earl and Raising Hope. I love watching Malcolm in the Middle. Mm-hmm. Those are all my go-to just comfort foods.
Yeah, those are all that's a good way to put it. They're comfort food. And there's a weird innocence about them that makes everybody, I don't know, there's something about that I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Everyone always says, "Scott, how can you watch the Trailer Park Boys and not be just offended constantly?" And I say, I don't know. There's something about it. There's like a childlike quality to it that makes me feel good. I can't explain it.
And you are kind of the target audience.
Am I?
Right?
Am I?
Yeah. Am I?
I don't know.
Think you are.
In what way?
You're a white guy.
White guy. you've just been classified.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. I am a white guy. You're right. You're right. I am a white guy. Here's how long. My dad used to say stuff like this, so I captured it.
You're about a bark and a half from being homeless.
He'd say that about dogs all the time when I was growing up. There's a dog.
There's a lot of every time he's at home, there's a lot of dead jokes going on.
Yeah,
loved it.
He's pretty good at that. Here's the part that ticked me off the most is what I wrote. 17 seconds. Here you go.
Rotate us 75 degrees around the vertical, please. Freeze there. Times 10. Focus on the drop.
Enhance.
Enhance, then forward, frame by frame.
Yeah. It's such garbage.
You got Enhance is the biggest lie in both male pills and technology movies.
Watch out for that word, enhance.
Yep. Also, so we, this is DTNS or something, but there is some new machine learning thing where some company has figured out how to finally do this. So they take the machines actually just extrapolate. They'll take a close up of some blurry thing, and they have millions of other things in their database, and they compare it, and they can whittle it down to say, all right, well, that's where these edges would be. This is where the face would end, or whatever. And it's actually possible now, but it took 100 years to get there.
I wish instead of enhanced, though, they'd say unsharp mask, unsharp right, mask
again.
Filter, Gaussian blur.
Redo.
Facet. Pointalize. Yeah, crystallize.
Polar crystallize. Backdrop. Okay, we're good.
Drop shadow.
Yeah, drop
reopen
shadow.
App. Reopen app. Dang
more
it.
Distance. More distance on the drop shadow.
That's amazing.
Can you imagine how long it would have taken in 98 for anything like that to render?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, dude.
You would have made one command and then just say, okay, guys, have coffee.
Yeah.
No, you'd have to go blend.
Yeah.
You'd have lots of time to blend.
I mean, where they really lost me was what Randy said earlier is the photo starts to rotate, which doesn't work unless you have other cameras in the room. Like, it's just not going to work unless it's a fully rendered 3D polygonal thing.
The whole business of what they saw in the lingerie shop with, now there's a shape in the bag. Let's figure out that shape. Enhance the shape.
It's really bad.
And he kind of talks about it. He says, the computer, extrapolates this data and tries to predict. And it's like, and even Jack Black was finally like, well, we can't do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He finally can't.
And then later someone says, because physics. We're like, wait, but you were just destroying physics earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
Physics, you don't care about no physics in this room. Something about blending.
I did stuff when I was a kid. I mean, not breaking and entering, but, stuff.
Hey, we all did stuff. I just wish they hadn't stolen my damn blender.
Seem a little attached to this blender, Robert.
Yeah, well, some people meditate. Some people get massages. I blend.
So Robert disappeared. He was another chick in the bucket. We never saw him again.
Yeah. Will Smith's friend.
That was the end of that.
And the blender. You thought that the blender would come back one more time, like he'd beat Scott Conn over the head with the blender at the very end?
Right. Now, he picked his blender up, right before he went into the restaurant, right? On the way out.
Oh, did he? I missed that. I must have blinked.
I think he did, yeah.
I don't remember that at all. I thought I also thought the blender was a lost cause and we were never going to hear about it again.
But I would, I like the running joke of the blender. This is something that I thought I thought that worked.
They handled it well.
Yeah.
I buy Will Smith's delivery of those kinds of lines. He's good at that stuff. Welcome to Earth, mother effer. Yes.
The real Chekhov's gun Earth. Of the entire film is the deal with Tom Sizemore. And the film actually made me forget about it. Early on, I was like, oh, they're going to be back to this eventually. But then I forgot completely.
Yeah, I totally forgot about the two tapes deal. Even after, it's been years since I watched it, but I had totally forgotten about the aspect of the two tapes, and that's how they resolve everything.
I did too.
And and it's funny because there was a rule. It's not really funny. It's just the thing. So yeah, there was a rule there at the beginning where he's like, Sizemore says, you got 1 week to tell me who made the tape.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool. So that's a deadline. So are we gonna honor that? Is it gonna be something that's gonna come up later? And they kept showing timestamps on on a lot of the locations. Right. And I'm like, were y'all going to, say that it's a countdown? They never really address it.
No, they don't.
There.
Yeah, it's there. If you look hard enough, it's there.
Yeah.
It's there. Hey, it's the library cop from Seinfeld.
To look into your labor practice as far back as the electrical workers' strike.
That's always good to see him.
What?
I can't think of his name, but he's great. He's the one that got after Jerry for having that late library book.
Yeah. It's great in Magnolia.
Yeah.
The game show host.
Also really good in lots of Coen Brothers movies. In fact, didn't we see him in... Barton Fink recently, I think. Didn't he have a small part in that? Or am I thinking of something else?
Yeah, it seems like he should have been if he wasn't.
Lots of Coen Brothers business. All right, here's Seth Green giving Jake Busey some crap. So here you go.
If we don't have line of sight, we can't hear what they say, right? Right?
Yeah, got it.
Okay, jeez.
That was an interesting scene because everything was bottom lit. Even though all the electronics were above them, it was a weird scene because that's when Seth's
pick
green,
these lights up.
Yeah, his glasses were giving him this evil look.
Yeah.
By the way, he had those glare resistant glasses in this. It was first time I'd really seen those.
Yeah, those were kind of new.
Programmer.
Yeah.
By the way, jumping back a clip, Philip Baker Hall.
Yeah,
that's him.
Is who we were talking.
Oh yeah,
about.
Philip Baker Hall.
Just passed away recently.
No, I think he's still here, isn't he?
Okay, good.
Yeah, and he's got a very weird IMDb known for list. IMDb is convinced that you're going to know him from Bruce Almighty, The Insider, 50-50, and Hard Eight. And he didn't make me think of any of those films.
No, he's really good in Hard Eight, though.
What they use? There's got to be some algorithm they use for like ticket sales or something that dictate which of those appear.
Or where those movies, it might be where those movies are in their top 250 thing they do or something, or maybe it's done that way. But he's been in like a bunch of stuff recently. Yeah.
He was in The Newsroom recently.
Yeah, he's great.
HBO show.
He's got to be, what is he? 31. He was born in 31. So what is that? That's 80. Shit. That's old. He's old. Gene Hackman has no excuse. This guy's still working. Still out there
rocking. The audio equivalent of Scott throwing up his hands after.
You're not wrong. All right, here's some angry acting.
Do they know me?
Who is they?
Do they know me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jeez. God, slow it down, fellas.
Wow.
So good. Hackman yelling is something to behold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a special kind of yelling. I feel like that guy at home would have been scary as shit if you were his kid. Who took my cereal bowl? Like just.
Oh yeah.
Ryan, did you take out the trash like I asked you to?
No.
If he was your grandpa.
Oh man.
And I don't know, like you spilled his coffee or something. Yeah. Oh my god.
Right. Put down my curly toupee. I need that for my Superman movies. Right.
Speaking of coffee, would you ever accept a coffee from a thermos from an old man?
No.
No.
Yeah, me either. No. Okay, just curious.
Especially not one that I think is trying to kill me.
Right. Want some thermos coffee? Oh, no, I'm good.
I don't trust.
I only have one cup. We're gonna have to share it.
Here's Prom Night with Ibbitt is all I have to describe this. I don't have any other backstory. I just know that this was something recorded on prom night. So here you go.
Your collar, your belt, your zipper. Get rid of your clothes, all of them.
Oh man, there's
no. That was good too.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was not the clip I was expecting.
Not me either.
Totally fine with that.
Okay, good.
I can't believe you missed it. I almost want to direct your attention to it.
Which one was
it? He's gone past that scene because it was right around the time of they've been tracing you as far back as the union worker strike or whatever it was.
Right.
What did he say? I forget. What
was Will Smith says to one of the guys, Brian, you still jacking off in the shower?
Oh, yeah. I missed that?
Right, yep. Yeah.
His name
was
Brian?
Lost opportunity.
Oh, my gosh. How... I failed.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it. That was during the.
I remember the line, but it didn't occur to me that his name was Brian. I mean, it's perfect.
I was so expecting that to come up. I even had a comeback ready for it.
That was
we'll give your comeback.
That was high. Yeah, let's hear your comeback anyways. If I played it, what were you gonna say?
Set it up, Brian. Masturbate in the shower.
Yeah.
I don't even need to use crowd anymore.
Oh man, I didn't know we were gonna go there.
Saved a fortune on grout. How's
there
that?
You go. Even better. Nice. So it was like hiding in plain sight. I feel like an idiot.
It totally was. Yeah.
Here's Japan lady getting all stoked. Okay, there's that.
Oh,
wow. Their computer tactical surveillance system sounds like Frogger. That sounds like Frogger to me.
Why did they use Frogger sounds?
I don't know. I was irritated by that.
Well, it's like the whole thing with the video game. Well, I mean, it's computer sounds, but for video game things, every game sounds like Atari Pac-Man when you're on a TV show or movie.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. It's unfortunate.
Apparently that's the one that they have free license to.
Atari Pac-Man is so bad.
The worst.
Oh, it's such a piece of garbage. All right. Here's the famous line. I always remember this from this movie. This was the big tagline in the trailers.
I blew up the building. What? Because you made a phone call.
I remember that always.
Why was it funny though? I couldn't figure it out. I laughed, but I couldn't figure out why it was.
It's just funny because you'd destroy your entire everything because he called somebody at the gas station. Yeah.
Right.
I love Hackman's laugh is what I wrote here.
I don't hate senior citizens.
I just love his
right.
I just want to spend time with him.
It was out of nowhere too that you want to take a shot at me. Like, there, you guys are getting along. You're talking. You're having food together. Why are you asking him if he wants to hit you now?
Yeah, it was weird.
It was purely for that line.
Yep. Krista sucks is what I wrote here.
Yeah. Hello. Could you send somebody up to my room, please? Yes. This is Krista, the congressman's aide.
Who gives a shit? Go home. I hate you. what is she all demanding about? Just say my TV's not working. Could someone come up and look at it? Thanks so much. You don't have to be a raunch about it.
Guess who I am?
Because she can't watch Family Feud.
I guess so. That's all that would be on that time of day. You're right. Hey.
Who's that sex? I want to watch Ray Combs on Family Feud.
I just did it with a really gross man.
Right. Can't get clean.
Yeah, it's not coming off. All right, here's the bulldog from Frasier. So another cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Here's him.
Yeah, he was in there.
Doing his thing.
I want to know who authorized its use. We checked it out from inventory. And for what purpose?
Wake up, you guys. Wake up.
I thought that guy might have been the guy from Frasier who was the sports...
You what?
It is Bulldog. Yeah. That's in Bulldog.
Yeah. Bulldog. Okay.
Yeah, that's Bulldog from Frasier. Yep.
All right. Good. Well, then I feel better.
You should
that's
feel
what
better.
I thought it was.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Good job.
See, what's on it? I don't know what this is.
What's on it?
Your ugly ass face is on it.
Oh, all right. That was a good line. Uh-huh. Your ugly ass face was on it. Okay, how about this final one? This is just a great shit. I love a good shit, you know, like a good yelled shit.
Yeah.
Here's a good one.
Shit!
It's a good one.
That is good.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of those, and that's up there, but I've got so many of these.
He got all four letters in that four-letter word.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, right.
Here's a good shit.
Shit!
That's probably the best shit.
Yeah, that's the best one.
That's the one I use for if we find something on IMDb we think is fake, like all the... Oh, by the way, this, again, in the IMDb trivia... Oh. Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Mel Gibson, all considered for the main role.
Shit.
That's what I say to that.
Can I give you the worst trivia ever?
Yeah.
Because this film has some really trivial trivia. Things like, the building that serves as Brill's workplace was originally a Dr. Pepper plant. Wow.
Maybe
man.
A
Mary
Pepper plant.
Ah, Mary Pepper plant.
Boxing is on television in four separate scenes. Ooh.
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't. I was trying to understand the meaning of it, and I was like, eh.
I would drink. Okay. I would drink Barry Pepper instead of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Hello.
I would. I would totally
okay,
do it.
But here's the.
I swerved. You listen to this one too.
Right. Capture.
But here is by far the most trivial piece of trivial. Gene Hackman's character's name, Brill, is very similar to his character in The Conversation.
What was
it's
his name?
It's a similar
there?
Character.
Oh, I gotcha.
It's not okay. A similar name.
Right.
It's a similar character.
That's
Gene Hackman once played a role kind of like this one.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that.
Yeah. You know what trivia I wanted to see? I wanted to know what exactly was on fire in that kitchen that Jason was running through.
Yeah, what did he spill?
What was going on in that kitchen that created that big kitchen fire? Or was they filming an episode of Kitchen Nightmare?
Could have been.
During that time. And that might have been too early for that, but yeah.
Could have been.
I don't who keeps fuel in the in the break room, in the cleaning
in the cleaning closet? Butane for the sternos, the butane for the sternos.
Okay, sure, I guess.
Come on, it's a hotel catering area.
All right.
Sterno all over the place.
You got me.
There's sterno everywhere. You know, you don't have to rub it in a little bit.
Man, there's some funny pictures of Barry Pepper. Sorry, while you were...
Yep. I'm just going to have a Barry Pepper hole.
I've got to have a Barry Pepper hole. Oh my gosh, that just sounds so great. Barry Pepperhole. It's fun to say.
He's a funny looking guy because of that extra face over his eyes.
Yeah.
He has a whole other face built into the top of his face.
Yeah.
And
I didn't know this
down.
Was going to be a Barry Pepper entertainment hour.
I love it. I love Barry Pepper getting some spotlight here. There's nothing wrong with that. It's great.
For sure.
He needs his time in the sun. Here's this thing because this time. The film sack checklist just handed to me. A lingerie store with mostly naked sales clerks. Check. Finally, Jake Busey and Barry Pepper working together. Check. And finally, Gene Hackman is a badass in black rim glasses. Check. Star Trek connections. There are two notable ones. Dan Butler, who played Schaefer in this. I don't know who Schaefer was. Ben Voyager played Steth, an imposter, and Tom Paris in the episode Vis-a-Vis. He's also best known for his role as Robert Bulldog. Oh, it's Bulldog.
Oh, okay.
Briscoe on Frasier. So that's that guy. Brian Markinson played attorney Brian Blake. In TNG, played Vorin. In DS9, played Elias Geiger. And in Voyager, played Sulin.
I was hoping he would play Brian in Star Trek. That would be totally
played
like
Brian.
His thing.
Exactly.
I refuse to play any character name.
Still jacking up in the holodeck?
Star Trek stuff, I'd give it, soundtrack grade, I'd give it a KZBN for kinda Zimmery, but not. So there's that.
Hey, yeah, the supporting score to that was all the Christmas music in all the stores, right?
Yep. They wanted to be diehard in this thing, I think. Yeah. A little bit of diehard vibe with the Christmas time stuff. Never
How
felt
does that
like
work? Did they pay for that? I mean, when you play audio that's being streamed through store speakers, do
yes.
you pay for that, I wonder?
Yes.
I mean, the Christmas music's nearly 100% of the stuff that's the stuff we associate with Christmas, that's all like public domain.
Yeah. Right.
So like you could play Silent Night anywhere you want, sing it anywhere you want, play it, record it, whatever. Nobody owns the rights to that stuff anymore.
There was a couple of large gaps of no music at all. I was kind of impressed with some of those, like the Lisa Bonet scene when they're in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's very quiet.
I like that in movies when they can pull that off. Like part of the reason No Country for Old Men works for me. Maybe that's what that guy was in. Anyway, there's zero soundtrack, really. There's this little bit of a kind of a drone at the beginning and at the end, but that's it. And the rest of the movie is soundtrackless, and it really, really effective in that particular film. I love that movie. Anyway, hey, Twitter post is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Enema of the stake. Will Smith is wasted in a role that was clearly written for Martin Lawrence. And come to think of it, the director should have been Michael Bay.
Whoa. You almost couldn't have told the difference. Seriously, I hate to say this, but this is a Michael Bay-like Tony Scott production, for sure. Brian Dunaway, you're next.
Enemy of the State. Like, this movie is either very smart or incredibly stupid. Probably the latter.
Yeah, probably the latter. Yeah. Always take the latter. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Enemy of the State. There must be some... Oh, let me try this again. Enemy of the State. There must be something wrong with the NFL. My God. One more time.
Hold on, I'm transcribing. Give me a second to catch up.
Enemy of the State. There must be something wrong with the Netflix transfer of this film. In all the NSA scenes, all I see is black and green.
Nice. I thought it was going to be something about the NFL. I got thrown off by your goof.
Well, I was looking ahead at the NSA, and I was saying NFL or NSA instead of Netflix and NFLix, and it was just getting all messed up.
And when you write it, it makes sense, right?
Stepped all over my own joke.
It's all good.
I've ran across this so many times. When you write something, it sounds one way in your head. When you actually say it out loud, you don't realize Netflix, NSA, and NFL is all going to like get jumbled. Right. I actually sometimes I will at least say it out loud at least one time before we do the show.
I rehearse my opening a couple times just to see how it sounds, how it plays.
See how the cat responds. Is that the thinking there?
Right. Come here, kitty. I got some for you.
She gives me the claws up, then I know we're good to go.
Perfect. look at this. Just hand it to me. This is the alternate titles. There's a bonus one here. Let's start with these two. The Bugged Prince of Bel-Air. Or The Adventures of Gene Hackman. Get it? Because he's a hacker man. And then the one that almost made the cut was Blender Off Dead. All right, I'm done.
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
Yeah, like Better Off Dead, see? It was a Blender Off Dead.
I was going to go Shot to the Neck and Barry's to Blame. You give Pepper a bad name.
That's pretty good. It'd be too long. It's like the coward Robert Ford who shot Jesse James.
Right. It reminded me of this one thing that I wish wasn't in the film because it just ruined a lot for me.
What's that?
And that's the sad dog running beside the car.
Oh. Yeah. You know, I captured that and I reversed it so it was happy.
Oh, good. It was like, finally, my owner's car is emerging from the water.
You're home.
Welcome back, Grandpa. What are these pills? All right, email. I don't know why he's called him Grandpa. Email. We got an email here from JHJK. I don't know what that stands for or means, or maybe it's his name. He says, "What's up?"
All right. 90s.
He says, 2000s. Hello, Film Sack crew. Scott, Ryan, Scott, Randy, Brian, and Brian. He's got the order wrong, so it threw me off. I just listened to your synopsis of Project X, and I'm shocked that you guys did not bring up how tropey that flight simulator was. I hate movies that show video games that look better than anything we've seen or played at those times, and those simulators were straight out of Lawnmower Man. Anyway, I digress, but what I could not figure out was what would gross Scott Johnson out in this movie. I mean, honestly, my best guess would have been how to smell filming in the confined space where they kept the monkeys. Ooh. But when Scott mentioned how they do in the back of the black diapers, P.U., keep on sacking, dudes. JHJK. So there you go. Yeah. Nice. No, we should have probably talked more about those simulators. But in 1987, or is that right?
87? Yeah, I think it was 87.
That was some pretty advanced stuff you were looking at there graphically. Right. And they were probably using government simulation video because they had, I mean, actually right up here at the Lockheed place near us, they have I don't know if they do now, but they had great big machines that you would roll in and had this kind of graphic treatment, and that was state of the art back in the day. So I was kind of the opposite. I was kind of impressed that they got that for that movie, because 87 is a long ass time ago.
Those simulators are really nothing more than it looked like they've been modified elephant rides like you'd have outside Kmart or Walmart. I mean, that's what it looked like to me.
Oh. Right, yeah.
Well, the actual devices,
basically little spaceships,
Sure. The screen, there's just the video itself, I don't think was even on those things. I think that was, it may have been on a screen.
Shot separately.
Yeah. And that's was okay impressive for its time. All the flight sim stuff at that time, if you commercially, like at home, they just didn't exist. There's no such thing.
Right, and it very much looked like the first ones of Flight Simulator, right? The Microsoft.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and those were bad.
Oh yeah,
those were bad. But that's the day. That's when we. That's
8 polygons. We can show up to 8 polygons on screen at
How
once.
How many polygons?
8.
The original Microsoft Flight Simulator for PC. I don't know when it came out. I can't remember precisely now. Mm. But I thought it.
Can't you play that in Excel if you type the right thing into a cell, into the right formula?
Interesting. I don't know. That's a good question.
You can. Yes.
Do you type in this movie equals monkey? What is it? What's the formula?
You type Project X and hit equals and boom.
Right. Yeah, boom. Okay. There you go. You're simulating.
Okay. I just looked it up. It came out in 1982.
Mm. Wow. So
1982.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Flight Simulator 1.0. 82. You're right.
The one that really, like, you know, took it to the next level for me was Flight Simulator 4, which came out in 89. I thought that was as good as video games ever needed to look.
Yeah, like, right.
That was it. A game couldn't look better. You had the whole dashboard of the plane across the bottom of the screen, and it just looks so realistic to me. Yeah. And now it looks like complete garbage. Total garbage. Right.
So here's the deal. If you have Microsoft Excel 97, unfortunately this does not work in later versions.
Aww.
You create a new worksheet, press F5, then type X97:L97 and press enter. Press the tab key, hold down control and shift, and left click the chart wizard toolbar icon.
All while balancing on one.
No way. That's awesome. Right. I love that.
You know
that.
What's easier than that? Just download a simulator. Good Lord.
Yeah.
So the last version of this game, by the way, that was called Flight Simulator, was called Flight Simulator X Acceleration. That came out in 2007. Yeah. And then we got Microsoft Flight a few years ago in 2012, and there has not been anything since. It does say here that Lockheed Martin bought the source code and all the intellectual property in 2009 to use for whatever they're doing. And that's what I'm thinking of is Lockheed Martin, not whatever the other one said. But anyway, that's not a thing anymore so much. I mean, they're simulation and having sticks and VR helmets now and tracking stuff, that's all the rage, but Microsoft's Flight Simulator is no longer part of the thing. That used to be the deal, man.
And Microsoft Flight is wonderful. I think it's free now. I think you can just go get it free from Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And fly around the Big Island.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that 1.0 screen. Holy.
Yeah, isn't that great? I can still hear those. I can still hear those sound effects.
Oh, that's so bad. That's not even VGA. Yep. What is that? That's like two colors.
Yeah.
Well, holy
and it stayed
shit.
Bad, like I say, it stayed bad until 4.0. And then with 4.0 and 89, you had things like Shadows. And I thought that was such a good looking game at the time.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you can buy Microsoft Flight Simulator X Steam Edition for a mere $25.
Is that all? Well, get on it then, everybody. Go fly some simulations. Mm-hmm.
Watch out for that. Watch out for that big Mr. Coffee on a stick that's raising up out of the floor behind you.
Yeah, no
kidding.
Right.
That's a pretty game. I'm looking at X. That's nice. That looks all right.
That isn't ass, isn't it? Yeah. That's a nice.
It's about damn time. Oh, video games. How far you've come
thanks
in a short amount
email.
Of time. Yeah, thanks for the email, JHJK. You can send your own emails to filmsack@gmail.com. I don't know what our next movie is. Do you know?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Our next movie is Lost in Space.
Oh, the bad new one.
Lost Joey in
Joey
Space.
Joey Tribbiani.
Yeah.
Yes. Joey's in Gary Space. Oldman and William Hurt headlined this reboot of the 1960s sci-fi series.
I am.
Did you guys watch the TV show back in the day with Robbie Robot?
Yes. But warning. Danger. That guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
I did. And I thought that was great. And I really wanted this movie to be good. And I remember hating it in the theater. So I think it's perfectly sackable, but I am kind of dreading it because I remember not liking it. But I think
The Party
of
Five
girl is in this too, right? Chabert, yeah. Lacey Chabert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Le Chabert.
Mean Girls.
Le Chabert. Yep. Mean Girls. Oh, yeah.
This is before she was only like, she was super young in this one too. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a little kid. Now she's a horrible person.
A grown woman.
Those people in that show. I can't stand that show. But yes, that's our next film then is that. So watch for Lost in Space coming soon to this feed near you. Filmsack.com is our website. You can find us there and all the things there that you need to get us and find us and have us and do us. Filmsack.
Secrete us from your orifices and.
Right. To keep us square in your crotch pit. Anyway. Filmsack@gmail.com is our email address. We're on Twitter at Filmsack. And you can find other great shows at Filmsack or frogpants.com. So go check that out as well. And leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Huh?
We'll see you next time.
Dead jokes.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.